Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience as well as those tuning in online. You know, we always talk about in this program that inspiration can come from some of the strangest places, but also from things that we're very passionate about. For our next guest, whether it's nursery rhymes or books or now through his new book, Movies, Tim Federle has been able to write books that have not only, I think, made people smile, but also, of course, give them something to be able to enjoy when it comes to cocktails. We're going to talk to him not only about his new book, Gone with the Gin, Cocktails with a Hollywood Twist, but what it's been like for him to know that things that he's been able to enjoy have been able to resonate so well with others. If you're just now hearing about the new book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Tim, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hey, Cyrus. It's great to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. You know, I had a lot of fun with this segment. My regular audience knows that I'm really a lightweight, Tim. I can hardly drink half a strawberry daiquiri without passing out. But, you know, for a lot of my friends that I call them lovingly luscious, I tell them this is a book that you all definitely want to pick up. And, of course, that led us to Amazon.com, where we were able to be able to get your other books as well. What has it been like for you, Tim, as I said, you know, to be able to take, whether it's nursery rhymes or books, one of my favorite things, and then, of course, Hollywood. What has it been like for you to take these themes and to create these books that have resonated with people like they have?
Yeah, I always sign every book, please read responsibly. You know, it's been fantastic. It's been really exciting. I was always the class clown, and I sort of think that, you know, one of my big lessons in adulthood is that everything that got me sent to the principal's office as a kid, they're all the same things that get me paid now. Hmm. So I think, you know, not walking in line, kind of standing out sometimes for the weird reasons as a kid, always being a wisecracker, you know, that sort of led me to being a grown-up who was able to turn those skills around and become a writer and to use that sort of unique voice, I hope, to bring other people some levity and some joy and in these cases, of course, some cocktails.
Exactly. You know, and I want to say another thing, Tim, that really struck me when I was prepping for this segment, and that is you've been able to reach people where they are. I'm not a big movie person myself. I am more of a book person, so probably Tequila Mockingbird would have appealed more to me initially. For others, of course, you know, who have children and may be looking for that getaway. Of course, you know, when dealing with the little one, Hickory, Daiquiri, and Doc probably would appeal to them. I mean, do you think that also has been the key, that you've known your audience and you've been able to give them something that would reach them where they are and what they enjoy?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Cyrus. You know, the first book came out of the fact that my mom has this book club in California, and she was sharing this story with me very offhandedly a couple of years ago, just saying that about 10 minutes into every book club, you know, inevitably one of the ladies would be like, did anybody bring wine? And they would, like, crack open wine, and, like, the rest of the book club was spent gently nursing a glass of wine, and occasionally they'd talk about the book. And I thought, well, there's an idea for a new book there, which sort of mashes up those elements. And the same thing with the nursery rhyme book, same thing with the movie book. It's exactly what you said. It's taking something that already has a core audience. Like, you know, and there's no bigger audience, I think, than films. I mean, look at the fanaticism, like, for the new Star Wars. And then saying, how can I bring a new element to this? Which in this case, of course, is to, like, bring a mixologist to movie night.
Sure, sure. And we're going to talk about the creative aspect of it. I'm going to go through a couple of the recipes that that really struck me, Tim, in the new book. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to go back to 2 years ago with Tequila Mockingbird, Cocktails with a Literary Twist, because what I thought was so fascinating was here we are, you know, 2 years later, the book is still a number one bestseller on Amazon. I mean, still leading in several categories there with over 200 reviews. Could you have imagined that that book would resonate with people, not only the way that it did, but that so many people will want to share their experiences with the book?
You know, I couldn't. I think every writer, every creative person, you know, and that could be anything, whether you're paid for it or you're just a really crafty parent who likes to make things with your kid. I think every creative person dreams that the things they find cool will be found cool by other people. I think to dream that you'll have a number one bestseller 2 or 3 years into being on sale would be hubristic of me. But yeah, you hope that other people think that your idea is cool. And I'll tell you what, one thing I've learned as a writer is that you never know until it's out in the world. And John Green is a writer of young adult novels, and I think he has a quote about, you know, the book belongs to the reader once it leaves your desktop. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. I'm thrilled that it's resonated with people, but you try the next thing and you hope that that finds an audience too.
Right, and I think that's the thing. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program this segment, Tim Federle. We're talking with him not only about his journey to being able to share his love of cocktails with the world, but also to be able to do it in a way that has definitely been able to resonate with people, whether it's through books like Tequila Mockingbird that we just were referencing, or his new book, Gone with the Gin, Cocktails with a Hollywood Twist. Let's go ahead and start talking a little bit about this, because I think, you know, even, you know, for those who have the book already, on page 42 and 43 of the book, there you'll find the cocktail that goes along with Gone with the Gin. You've been able, of course, to take these films that a lot of people have heard about, Tim, and then, of course, to make them your own through these drinks. I want to talk about that aspect. I mean, what is that like for you to take? Because I have to imagine it's almost like a recording artist who's taking a song that was done, you know, 60, 70, 80 years ago, and then trying to, you know, bring their own flavor, their own voice to it. What is it like for you to take these different movie titles and these themes and then to create a drink around it?
Cyrus, you ask the best questions, I think, in the business. You are really good. It's fun. It's a blast. I liken it to like a mashup almost. You know, I took, you mentioned the title recipe. With something like Gone with the Gin, I felt like my job was to not just come up with a silly pun, but to actually ask the question, what would this movie invoke as a flavor? And so, you know, when I was creating that recipe, I sort of said it should taste like, it should have a hot element to sort of invoke the burning Atlanta from the movie. It should have a Georgian peach element, so we do muddled peaches. And then I work with this great mixologist named Cody Goldstein in New York, and we make sure that the drinks aren't just kind of funny and punny, but they're also delicious. But it's really fun, and one of the really amazing things as an author is that I can go on like Instagram and I can search the hashtag Tequila Mockingbird or Gone with the Gin, and I can see readers resonating and reaching the book, and it's so fun to see that somebody gets it for their 21st birthday, or I Skype in with a book club, and it's an absolute joy. It's a joy to feel like you're reaching people and you don't even have to be there.
Yeah, and I appreciate the compliment, by the way. But, you know, I think, you know, that the thing for me when I was, again, reading this book, and I have to say there is one recipe I am going to try for myself, and
okay,
I want my audience to hold me to it, and it actually goes to something that you referenced, because there is the Star Wars phenomenon. I am going to be interviewing some of the cast a little bit later this, but I'm going to try Star Wars The Empire Likes Jack. I'm going to try that one. And I'm going to have my brother there with me, so I'll make sure that I do it in the comfort of my own home, but that we also have a witness. You know, it has to be, I think, you know, the other great thing is that you're able to create what we call in this program conversation starters as well. Do you hope that people would then make their own variation of these and kind of be able to have their own spin on something that you've helped them create?
Yeah, totally. You know, when I wrote these books, it was like there's 100 books out there, and I have some of them that are for people who want to be really, really ambitious in the kitchen. I wanted to write something for the person who wants to just throw a couple ingredients together, have it be delicious, have a conversation starter, but not stress out too much about ingredients. You know, to go back to The Empire Likes Jack, that was such a fun recipe to create because, again, it's got such cult status, actually beyond cult status. It's like a beloved part of American culture at this point. And with all of these, I mean, you know, Sidecar Named Desire, and so many of these. One of the ones that made me really laugh that I didn't even come up with, the pun is Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind, and I got that from my Twitter followers. I mean, I actually, when you have to come up with 50 original puns, it's actually kind of hard. And so I asked my followers, help me come up with some ideas for this new cocktail recipe book, and oh my gosh, if you ever need to pull a crowd, you know, ask your social network, because they've certainly got ideas.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that as a great segue, because you are, you know, active, you know, with over, you know, 11,000 individuals staying connected with you just on Twitter alone, and we'll be giving out your website a little bit later as well. I mean, what is that like for you, Tim? I mean, could you have imagined, I mentioned earlier about the success of, you know, of Tequila Mockingbird, but could you have imagined that just by your doing what you love, because I think this is a great lesson for all of us who are creatives in our different fields, because, you know, I have always use the field of dreams analogy. If you build it and work hard at it, you know, the people will come. Do you think that that audience is just proof of that for you, that because you've been consistent, because you've been passionate and done the work, that you have been able to find this audience for yourself?
Yes, and I'll add to it. I think sometimes you put something out into the world and either it doesn't, you know, get the exposure from somebody like you who helps to amplify the message, or it comes at the wrong time and you realize, oh my gosh, people weren't ready for a book like this. You know, that's being a little dramatic about a cocktail book, but there are certain books in history. I mean, for goodness sake, look at somebody like Emily Dickinson, who never even knew that she'd become one of the most beloved poets of all time. What you start to realize as a creative person is you either have to do the thing or you don't. And for me, I realized I was always going to be a wisecracker who was always trying to crack people up and was always trying to find, like, the funny side to every situation. And whether I got paid for that or not, or had a giant audience or not, I was always going to be that person. And so while it's a total honor to actually make a living doing this, I was also doing this in terms of, you know, being the class clown when I was in middle school, just trying to get through the day without getting, you know, stuffed into a locker.
Okay, I am sure a lot of people can relate to that for sure. You know, let's ask a similar question, but from a different angle, Tim. You know, because you have been able to do what you love, and because the audience has been there, as I said, you know, you have a book been out 2 years, still a bestseller on Amazon.com. Do you think it also shows other people what is possible? Because unfortunately, not everyone out there has a support system that tells them, you know what, just keep at it. You know, it may not seem as though this is going to work, but just keep going, you know, don't give up. Do you hope that your example, and from what you just shared, from where it all began, that would also help to inspire other people?
Absolutely. And I tell people all the time, you know, I actually also write children's books, believe it or not. And I tell groups of school kids all the time, you know, you got to find the one or two people who really get what you're about. And then the haters are going to hate. There's, you know, that's the job of haters, the job of critics sometimes. You're going to have people out there who are pulling you down. But the broader point about being inspired, absolutely. And one of the true facts of the human experience is that there is always somebody who's doing better than you, and there's always somebody who's not. And it's about where you choose to look. I just saw the movie Creed, that new Rocky movie.
Right.
And there is this sequence where Sylvester Stallone is telling Michael B. Jordan to box at himself in the mirror because his greatest opponent is always going to be himself. And I came home and I put a mirror on my desk because I realized I am always my greatest opponent, whether it's a deadline or batting down the voices, I'm always my greatest opponent. And I think that's true for all your listeners.
That is so true, and I think, again, it goes to whatever your profession might be. I wanted to go back to something else in the book that I noticed, because, you know, I am books have always been my thing. I'm catching up on movies, I have to say, you know, even movies that have been out forever. I'm just now, thanks to cable television, I'm able to finally see them for the first time. The other thing I thought about that I did not expect with this book, you know, it's one thing to have the titles like The Breakfast Cereal Club or even the Bloody Mary Poppins, but you actually put a lot of work, not only into the recipes, Tim, but in some of the backstories of these films. I mean, did you know going into it that was going to be so big a part of this book? And do you think that also has been one of the interesting things, that not only have you been able to give us something to entertain us as far as a beverage, but also a little bit of history about movies that maybe we didn't know?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That is what I wanted to do. You know, common writer advice is to say, write what you know. And what I've sort of come to realize is that you have to write what you want to know. You have to write what you want to spend time with. And so when I set out to write these books, it was also about my own education. So it started as sort of this joke, you know, oh God, all these funny puns. But then, like, for something like the title recipe, I discovered that, wow, you know, the producer of Gone with the Wind originally had this idea long before Simon Cowell, long before American Idol, to actually search the entire country for his leading lady. He launched this national televised talent contest. Those kinds of facts that I learned that I then put into the book are the other thing that I think people find really surprising. And I hear from readers who say, wow, I bought this book as a joke for my roommate, and I ended up sitting up reading it before I gave it because I didn't know all these things about the movies. And I think that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I think that is also it. You also kind of give us a commentary on the world that we live in today. And you know, when you're discussing films like Tequila Sunrise Boulevard, you know, when you're giving us that recipe, you know, I thought it was so interesting, you know, how you're able to, again, show us even before there was social media, you know, how these individuals were, and kind of give us that kind of peek. And that was one of the things, too, I think, that I enjoyed as someone, again, who is, you know, not very good with drinks. I enjoyed that part of the book, I think, which is what kept my, you know, kept me reading throughout, because I was like, oh, you know, I didn't know that about, you know, about that film, or I didn't know that about, you know, that actress. So that was one of the things. Well, my brother probably would just go to the recipes and make the drink.
Yeah.
Not know anything else. So again, there's that perfect marriage there. So, you know, for you then, I mean, I mentioned a couple of times now, and I guess a third time, Tim, you know, you have the success of a book like, you know, Tequila Mockingbird. I mean, that has to be, as you mentioned about The Mirror now, I mean, your own worst critic, of course, your biggest opponent. You know, do you go into each book now just trying to feel satisfied yourself? Is that kind of the big goal for you, to do something that you're proud of and then hoping that there will be others who will enjoy it as well?
Yeah, you know, I wish I were an evolved enough person to say that reviews don't matter to me. I wish I could say that it's all about me. But the truth is, I think a comedian tells jokes in order to get laughs. And
sure.
I do have a mentor named Tom Schumacher, who produced the movie and the musical The Lion King. And a couple years ago, the New York Times asked Tom Schumacher, you know, what if The Lion King, you know, what if you never write something that's or produce something that's as big as that? And Tom said, if the worst thing that ever happens to me is that the best thing that ever happens to me is The Lion King, that's still pretty good. And I actually feel that way about Tequila Mockingbird. You know, if the best thing I ever do is write this bestseller that's really touched a lot of people, then I really have nothing to complain about.
Right. You know what? I think we all can relate again to that, because, you know, I noticed you posted on social media, you know, a couple of days ago about a review for one of your books for a younger reader. You say, you know, one day,
yeah,
you know, maybe this won't matter. But it's still great to know. It's great to know that something that you've devoted so much of your time to, you know, and was a labor, you know, of love, but also, you know, of your profession, that it is being recognized. And I think that, you know, what creative would not want that, to be able to have that being true of them? And it's definitely, I know, will be the same for this new book. Again, everyone, Tim Federle has been our guest for this segment. Great conversation, Tim. Gone with the Gin is the title of the new book, Cocktails with a Hollywood Twist. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite online retailer. We definitely want you to get it there. I mentioned earlier that Tim is on social media. You can find him on Twitter at his name, at Tim Federle. And the website is just timfederle.com, right, Tim?
That's right, Cyrus.
All right. So make sure you all are staying connected with Tim and keep up with his latest adventure as well. Tim, really did enjoy the time with you today, and I hope you'll come back. We'd love to have you back on the program again.
I would love it. Thanks so much, Cyrus.
Hey, thank you so much for the time. We thank you, our audience, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For those joining us on the radio side of our show, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come. I'm going to be speaking with actor and producer Travis G. Hadley coming up on the program. So you all stay where you are. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off to air. The link is already available through our social media friends. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link there, listen to the show completely for free, and you can share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.